Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings. Today, I'm going to air an interview with Carmen Welker Liana, and I've got some great music for you, too, so I want you to just kick back, grab a cup of coffee, grab your bagel, and get ready for a fantastic program today on Bagels and Blessings. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are a Messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the promised Messiah. Our services contain Jewish liturgy and Davidic dancing, and we celebrate the Feasts of Israel. We meet at 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton, and our services are Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Please join us for worship. And while you are in the building, be sure to check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop. Now open Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m., Tuesdays by appointment, Wednesdays from 3 to 8 p.m., Thursdays from 3 to 6 p.m., and up to 30 minutes after services on Saturdays. You can call the Fig Tree Bookstore at 585-484-7775. The Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop is a great place for books, CDs, cards, jewelry, and so much more. So be sure to check them out when you visit Congregation Shema Yisrael. And now, when you make a purchase at the Fig Tree Bookstore, you can fill out a raffle ticket. Those names will be drawn for a prize from Bagels and Blessings. So those of you in the Rochester area, be sure to visit Congregation Shema Yisrael in the Fig Tree Bookstore and fill out your ticket for a chance to win a prize from Bagels and Blessings. And here's something for you to put on your calendars. Sunday, May the 28th at 3 o'clock p.m., Shema Yisrael is having a grand opening. That's right, we've been in our new building for quite a while, but we've never had a grand opening. And it's also Shavuot. You might know it as Pentecost. We're going to have Sue Samuel and her husband, Rabbi Brian, in. It's going to be quite the celebration. So join us Sunday, May 28th at 3 o'clock p.m. We're at 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton. Hope to see you there. All right, let's get this party started with Mekedem. This is Lechuna Ranana.
Darim lo, ויבשת ידיו יצרו. לא הים והוא עשהו, ויבשת ידיו יצרו. לא הים והוא עשהו, ויבשת ידיו יצרו. לא הים והוא עשהו, ויבשת ידיו יצרו. נגמה פניו בטונם, הזמירות נערי אלון, כי הם גדול אדוני. נגמה פניו בטונם, הזמירות נערי אלון, כי הם גדול אדוני.
This is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. That was Makeda with Lechuna Ranana, and this is the translation from Psalm 95, 1-6. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving and shout to him with songs. For the Lord is a great God. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain's peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before him, our maker. Again from Psalm 95, 1-6. Hallelujah. I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord and they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling. 585-889-7840. I'll never forget the first time I looked at Isaiah 53. I couldn't believe that that was in the Jewish Bible. And yet, there it is, a description of the suffering Messiah who was wounded for our sins. Here's Jonathan Sattel, Isaiah 53.
Who has believed our report? And to whom is shown the arm of the Lord? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, a root out of dry ground. There was nothing attractive to draw us to him. He was despised and we did not care. Like sheep, we have all gone astray, and each of us has turned to his own way. was oppressed and afflicted, but did not say a word, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that before its shearers is dumb, so he bridled his own of Torah, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And by your stripes I'm healed.
This is Jonathan Sattell, and you are listening to Bagels and Blessings.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, and please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And you're invited to come and experience Messianic worship in person Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton.
Stay tuned for my interview with Carmen Welker Liana. In the meantime, here's Sue Samuel with Great Are You, Lord.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Great.
So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Great.
Shalom, this is Sue Samuel, and you are listening to Bagels and Blessings.
So I wanted to share with you that the women from Congregation Shema Yisrael and some friends gathered together at Delta Lake Bible Conference Center in Rome, New York, the weekend of April 28th, and Sue Samuel came to be our retreat speaker and to lead us in worship, and she did a whole teaching about worship. It was really incredible. We talked about what worship is and how it's actually used in warfare, how worship is praise, singing and speaking about God, and it was just a wonderful time of fellowship. I hope you get a chance to meet her. If you are local to the Rochester area, then remember I said earlier in this broadcast that Sue and her husband, Rabbi Brian, are coming to minister to us at our grand opening and Shavuot or Pentecost service on Sunday, May 28th at 3 o'clock at Congregation Shema Yisrael, 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton. I'm really excited. If you've never met Sue and her husband, Rabbi Brian, then you're in for a real treat. Hallelujah. Well, this is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings, and it's almost time for my interview with Carmen Walker-Liana. But in the meantime, we have time for some more music. Let me see what I pull out of my hat. Here's a great song with Marty Goetz and his daughter Misha, who, by the way, maybe by the time this goes on the air, she would have had her third child. But as of this moment, she's about to have a baby girl any moment now. Anyway, I love this song. It's based on Jeremiah 29:11 because God just reminds us over and over again that He has a purpose and a plan for our life. Enjoy.
To bring you through and give to you a future and a hope. They're for your peace, they're for your good. The plans I have for you. Plans I have for you, you're always on my mind.
And all the thoughts I think toward you are lovingly designed
to bring you through
and give to you
a future and a hope. They're for you. They're for your good. The plans I have for you. To bring you through and give to you a future and a hope. They're for your peace, they're for your good.
The plans I have for you.
The plans I
Well, that was a beautiful song from Marty and Misha Goetz. And now here is my interview with Carmen Welker-Liana. Enjoy, darling. Enjoy. Carmen Welker-Liana, welcome to Bagels and Blessings.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm delighted that I found you. And, oy, I have so many questions. Where to begin? Let's see. I already know the answer to this, but our listeners are going to want to know. So, for their benefit, were you raised in a Gentile or a Jewish home?
I was raised in a Gentile home. Even though my mother was Jewish, I was born Jewish through my mother and her mother and on down the line in post-war Germany. But I was never raised in the faith. And I didn't really know my mother anyway. I mean, she gave me away at birth to be raised by a poor welfare couple who lived in a three-room hovel without running water or electricity. And, you know, the thing is, while this might sound terrible, it was ultimately a good thing, because looking back, I could see that I had been raised during my formative years, had I been raised during my formative years by my natural mother, who was an alcoholic and a prostitute, I probably would not have lived to be the person that I am today.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So growing up, did you have any Jewish friends, or were you at all interested in Israel at all? I'm just curious.
No, I didn't know I was supposed to be. matter of fact, I didn't know that, you know, I didn't know what it meant to be Jewish. I didn't even know I was Jewish until my natural mother came down the dirt lane to my little hovel when I was almost 9 years old. She and with her new American husband, a soldier, who took me away from this, from my, the only lifestyle I'd ever known, and moved me into her, you know, into her house in southern Germany where he was stationed, and then eventually brought me to the United States. And the whole thing was, I have such a convoluted story, I can't even tell you. But no, she what she would do is, she would tell me that I was Jewish, but that I should never tell anyone we were Jewish because they kill Jews. She was born and raised during the, you know, in Germany during the war. And as a matter of fact, she was forced into the Hitler Youth. Every German child was in the Hitler Youth, but her mother kept their Jewishness from, appearing. Kept the whole thing quiet, and nobody ever knew that this German man had married a Jewish woman. And wow. So I kept it a secret, too. I didn't know why we were supposed to keep it secret until I was, like, in the 12th grade, where I read the Diary of Anne Frank and first found out what it meant to be Jewish and what they did to the Jews during World War II.
Wow. In the midst of all the stuff that was going on in your childhood, who was Jesus to you?
Well, the way I found out about Jesus was when I was about 5 years old, my foster father's aged mother came for a visit, and she told me about God. And somehow, just the way she said it, somehow I knew she was telling me the truth, because while she was speaking, I felt as if someone had been pouring warm water into my soul. I knew this was real, and I honestly believe that's when I got saved, back when I was five, because I just knew that this was real. I don't remember what she said, but I knew about God. And I don't even remember that she actually spoke about Jesus. But as life went on and I met other people during the course of my life, of course, you know, I met many Christians and they believed in Jesus. And that's how I found out about him. But I didn't know what to do with him, and I didn't go to church. I just had no clue. And well, the couple times that I was invited to different churches, I didn't understand anything they were talking about, and it sounded foreign. And that's because, you know, the Bible tells us that the man who walks in the dark does not know where he's going. And I definitely did not know where I was going, because whenever I tried to read the Bible, I didn't understand any of it, and it sounded like fairy tales to me.
Mm. Carmen, did something happen in your life to make it all come into the light, to make it all, so that it all made sense? Did something happen to show you the truth?
Yes. I've had lots of things that actually helped to show me the truth. But one of the major things was I went into a 3-week coma just before I turned 21. And I had a couple of out-of-body experiences there. And the thing was, in the first one, I kept floating. The first one actually helped to explain the second one and tell me that, you know, that this was the real thing. Something had really truly happened. And what happened was, I wanted out of my body. I was in a 3-week coma, and I felt like I wanted out of my body, and it was the strangest feeling. But I had to leave, and so I flew up through the hospital, down the highway, to 75 miles away, where my adoptive father was living. And I had hated him because he had been sexually abusing me from the time I was 9. When I first met him, when my mother came, and you know, he and my mother came to take me away from my foster home. And but for some reason, I was compelled to see him. And even though I was just an entity, I couldn't see. It was like I was only eyes. I was hanging up above their kitchen wall, the ceiling. I was hanging against the ceiling, and I watched him and his girlfriend at the time talking about how they were going to buy 300 pigs. He was going to trade all of his cows in. And I remember looking at Goldie, his girlfriend, and remember that I loved her and remembered that I hated him, but it was the same. It felt the same. As odd as it sounds, this happened, and it was proved later on that when I came out of this coma and Goldie visited me, in the hospital, I said, "By the way, when are you and Dad going to buy those 300 pigs?" And she said, honey, how did you know about that? We haven't told anybody. I said, well, I heard you guys talking about it. And so then when I had a second out-of-body experience, I found myself standing in front of Jesus, way out in deep space. I was terrified. I didn't know what I was doing there. And I couldn't reach him because he was above me, and he kept talking in this strange language that I couldn't understand, which I, of course, now know was Hebrew. But I couldn't get to him. I could only look up at him. And then he kind of motioned me away with his right hand. And as I flew away, I looked back, and it hit me. Oh, my gosh. That's that Jesus guy that, you know, Christians go around telling me that, that Christians have told me about, who went around telling everybody he was the Son of God. But the whole thing was fantastic. I was, you know, spirit-filled for several days after I came out of the coma. And, the whole thing was just amazing. It's too amazing to explain. It really is. But that's how I knew that he really, truly existed. But other things had happened before then, too. You know, like I said, my father was sexually abusing me during those days, back starting at 9. And I used to hide in the closets from him. And I used to pray to God that he would keep my dad away from me. And he never did. And sometimes I wondered if there really was a God, but then it hit me. You know, I'm guessing that God allows us all to make our own choices in life. And unfortunately, his choice is impacting me. And so I just asked God to help me make it through. So God always did give me little hints that he really was real. And, you know, the only way I found out was as time went on. I was saved then finally at the age of 44 in this little Baptist church in Missouri. It's in a little hip town called Seymour. And it was amazing. The people were loving and they were helping me find my way to God. But the first time I was there, the pastor happened to be talking about he asked the question, If you were to die today and stand before God in heaven, what would you say? What would you tell him? Would you tell him that you're a good person, or that you go to church, or that you do community services? What would you say? And I'm sitting there going to myself, well, I'm a good person. I've been through hell on earth here, and I don't know what else I'd say. And then he said, nothing you could say would be the right answer, because the only thing that will get you to the point where you are good enough to go to heaven is your belief in Jesus Christ. And I thought, I have never heard that before. And so that was my awakening moment. And ever since then, that whole thing just turned my life around. It turned my life upside down.
Wow, that is incredible, Carmen. I'm just wondering, what events led you to get involved with Messianic Judaism? And I understand you've become a Messianic rabbi, so I'd like to know a little bit about the transition that led you to where you are now.
Well, it goes back to, you know, when I first got saved in that Baptist church, I had questions of the pastor. I drove that poor pastor crazy asking all these questions. And, you know, I had been looking through all the various Bible studies and nothing felt right. I felt as something, you know, as if something were missing. Because I think the Holy Spirit right away made me realize that many things that were espoused in the church simply did not add up. For instance, I had questions of the pastor such as, well, why don't we keep the seventh day Sabbath? Like, you know, since we're one in Christ, aren't we supposed to be doing the same thing that everyone else is doing, you know, that the Jews do? Oh, no, he said, you know, that Jesus nailed that to the cross. And I kept thinking that can't be, because once I had started reading the Bible, I saw, especially in the Torah, you know, the first five books of the Bible, I saw that how adamant God was that everyone who accepted him as their God was supposed to do exactly as his people do. As a matter of fact, he said it four times in Numbers 15, 13 through 16. And I just couldn't figure out why we weren't doing it. And so when I asked the pastor all these things, the only thing he kept saying is, you know, Jesus did away with that, and he kept sending me back to the writings of Paul, which sometimes seemed like they were negating what God actually said. And in my mind, I thought was, wait a minute, Paul is not God, and he couldn't have changed any of this. Paul said this, Paul said this, he said lots of things. But then I also read one day, in Romans 3:31, where it was, you know, it's written, do we then nullify the law through faith? May it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. And that's the day it dawned on me that we were not understanding the writings of Paul correctly, because Paul said that. We did not negate Torah. Yeshua died not to do away with his father's original divine instructions in righteousness, which is what Torah is. He died to take away our past sins. And so that's what got me on this quest, that I literally laid down on my face and I begged God to please, please, please show me what I am missing in church, because something is not right here. And so then all of a sudden I kept hearing this voice in my head, move to Colorado Springs. For 6 months I heard that, and I thought, that can't be from God, because that's where all my child abuse started. Oh my gosh, no, I'm not going back there. But for 6 months, God would not leave me alone. And so until one day I read the workbook, Experiencing God. And one of the things in there, and I'm paraphrasing here, it said, whenever God leads you to a God-sized task, it always leads you to a crisis of belief. What you do about it shows how you really feel about God. And I thought, wow, I really love you, God, but I don't want to move to Colorado Springs. You know, I can't be there. That's a place where all the child abuse started. And so that did it. That turned me around, because I thought, okay, fine. As a matter of fact, back then I was a baby Christian, and I made a pact with him. I said, I'll move to Colorado Springs for a year, but if I don't like it, I'm coming back, because this is where all my friends are. And you know how you make a pact with God sometimes, you know, back in your early days.
Yeah.
But so anyway, I sold everything I had, my house, my personal possessions, everything, just and jumped in my car and moved to Colorado Springs, because that's what he told me to do, and I didn't know what to expect. And for a year, nothing happened. And then one day at work, I was working for a contractor for Space Command in those days, and a new guy came, and he happened to be a Messianic Jew. And, you know, after I got saved back in that Baptist church, I couldn't help myself. Everywhere I went, I was witnessing. I was witnessing like crazy, and here I was trying to witness to this guy, and he said, oh, I know all that. He says, I'm a Messianic Jew. And I said, what is that? And he said, he told me, and he said, well, we believe in Jesus, but we also believe in keeping God's law, his divine, original divine instruction in righteousness, without which we would have no blueprint for moral holy living. And I thought, okay, wait, that sounds pretty good. Maybe that explains why I have these funny feelings about why are we not keeping the seventh day Sabbath and the feast. The seventh day Sabbath is a sign between God and his people. Well, I'm his people, even though I was born Jewish and I'm supposedly Jewish. That doesn't matter. Everybody who accepts God is supposed to be doing exactly as his people do. He said so. And so this man invited me to come to a Wednesday evening study group with Ralph Messer at our local hotel in Colorado Springs. And so I went with him and his wife. And that evening, I mean, so much was covered there. And he started talking, Rabbi Messer started talking about the feast and the Sabbath and all that. And oh my goodness, there it was. Everything that I've been questioning and did not have the words for, because I didn't know the Bible well enough back then. And so anyway, I ended up studying under Rabbi Messer for about a year, and I loved it and I learned a lot. But then, you know, as I did that, as I turned Messianic, because at first I didn't want to leave the church. I was loyal to the church because that's where I was saved. I mean, I got baptized in that Baptist church. And I thought, oh, please, God, please tell me, where am I supposed to go? Because I started attending a Messianic congregation, too, with the same couple who had introduced me to that Wednesday evening study group. And so time just went on, and I learned so much more, and I thought, I don't know what to do, God, please tell me. And he did. He in my mind, one night while I was at the Wednesday evening study group, I literally heard, "Come out of her." And I thought, well, who else can that be but the church? Because the church does not keep the Torah. And I really like this Torah stuff. And the more I learned, the more I was convinced, this is it. It's not just believing in Jesus like my pastor had told me, because he always said it's Jesus plus nothing, which never seemed right to me. But in this case, it was, yes, you believe in Yeshua. That was his given Hebrew name, which means Yahweh is salvation. And I thought, this is what I want to do. I'll just come out of the church and I will attend only my Messianic synagogue. And I stayed there for the next 8 years. And all kinds of incredible things happened. God changed my life in ways I couldn't even comprehend.
Wow.
As you know, it just changes you once your eyes are open to that.
Well, we only have a few minutes left. So what is your current status?
My current status is I'm a Messianic rabbi. I'm an associate professor at the Messianic Jewish Rabbinate, which is an online yeshiva. And I have written several books to lead people to Torah, including one novel, including my own my autobiography. And I answer questions for people from around the world. That's what I do. I'm always online on my Facebook page and working on my website called The Refiner's Fire.
Amazing. Tell me about the name of your autobiography and where can we buy it?
The autobiography is called Rags to Rabbi. And I pull no punches while presenting a no-holds-barred account as to how a victim feels while being sexually abused. But it leads people to the truth of God. It starts out with me as a child and expounding on my whole childhood. And then, you know, throughout my life as I found God. It's basically, it's my testimony. And the book is just a testimony for God in every way, but it also speaks to victims of child sexual abuse.
And it's Rags to Rabbi?
It's called Rags to Rabbi, and it can be found on either Amazon, you can just Google my name, or go to my a website called BTorobservant.com.
Wonderful,
and,
wonderful.
Yes, and my own website is just called The Refiner's Fire, and it's a Messianic apologetics website, and it's therefinersfire.org.
And one last question: have you been able to forgive your stepfather?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I have. I mean, you just have to let go. We can't enter heaven if we haven't forgiven everyone. I realized that he had been an abused child as well, and my mother too. I hated my mother because she did save me from all this, and I was so upset with her for most of her life until she died. And then I realized, you know, her mother turned her into a prostitute when she was young. All this wasn't her fault. We are all products of our own environment. We all grow up, we all make mistakes. And, you know, the person who has been a victim, so, you know, if they give their life to God, He will help them overcome. He is the only entity who helped me overcome my childhood and my horrific past. And he caused me to join the Army when I was young and become a journalist so that I could use my writing skills for him today. Everything in my life has happened to me because God caused me to be at the right place at the right. He led me from point A to point C. And he does that for everyone. And that's just my big goal in life, is to lead people to that. I want everyone to know that, you know, God can and will make a difference in your life. And it's today for me, of course, it's always all about Yahweh, Yeshua, Torah. And I want the whole world to know about these things. And that's why I live. I honestly believe that's why I was created.
Wonderful. This has been a fascinating discussion, Carmen. Thank you so much for being my guest on Bagels and Blessings, and I hope to have you on the air again with me sometime.
Okay, that'll be fine. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
You're welcome. Shalom for now.
Shalom.
Thank you for listening. That was my interview with Rabbi Carmen Welker Leanna. I didn't realize at first that she was a rabbi, and I should have addressed her as such when I announced the interview. Anyway, that was really exciting, and we have time for some more music. So here's something from Ted Pierce, who, by the way, will be with us at Shemayas Royale on June 17th. You might want to mark that down.
Praise is awaiting you in Zion, O God. And to you our vows will all be fulfilled. Oh, you who hears our prayers, it is to you that all shall come. Praise you, praise you. All the earth will shout and the rocks cry out as we praise you. Praise you, praise you. Every tribe, every tongue, every nation, everyone gonna praise you. Crown the seasons with your goodness, pastures of the wilderness overflow, meadows are clothed with flocks and valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy, oh yes, they sing. Praise.
Shalom, y'all. This is Ted Pierce coming from Texas. Don't change that dial. You are listening to my fabulous friend Ethel Chadwick on Bagels and Blessings. Tune in every week for the best in radio. Thank you.
Here's an oldie but goodie from the group Lamb. Clap your hands.
Clap your hands, all ye peoples. Clap your hands to the Lord. Shout unto God with your voice, a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the peoples under us, the nations under our feet. Clap your hands, all ye people. Clap your hands to the Lord. Shout unto God with your voice, a voice of triumph. Sing praises to our God and King, for He is King over all the earth. God reigneth over the heathen from His throne in Zion. The princes of the people are gathered, even God's people of Abraham. For the shields of earth belong to God, He is greatly exalted. Clap your hands, all ye people. Clap your hands to the Lord. Shout unto God with your voice, a voice of triumph. La la la. To God with your voice, a voice of triumph. La 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 la
Yivarechecha Adonai v'yismorecha. Yager Adonai panav alecha v'ikunecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha. We assemble Shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying Shalom Alechem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.